Our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 14 through 30. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says these words. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you have entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was in seminary, my New Testament professor described a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. As Jesus was using this parable to teach his disciples about heaven, he used an ordinary example of everyday life to illustrate the point he was trying to make. Jesus did that with all of his parables. In the case of this particular parable, Jesus was emphasizing the importance of investing that which God has entrusted to us. How we invest our money, what we expect to happen when we do invest our money, well, God thinks that way too. We live in an age where people are concerned about their finances. When you invest your savings or your pension, you want to make sure that there's a good return on your investment. You watch the stocks, you look at the interest rates, you may even pay somebody to make good financial investment decisions for you. And as you watch, if you don't like the return or you get impatient watching and waiting for the market to change or you get nervous about the fluctuations in the market, you may pull your investment from one place and put it in a better place. God does that same thing with his investment in us. And that's today's version of the parable that Jesus told so many years ago. God does not change. God's word, the Bible, is still very relevant today. In this parable, The talent that was talked about in the story was, first of all, a unit of weight. It would run about 75 pounds. And then it was a measure of money. One talent equaled 16 and a half years' wages. So if the average wage was $20,000 a year, one talent was worth $330,000. That's a lot of money. In this parable, Jesus is saying that your witness is worth an awful lot to him. Jesus is saying that your service in the church is very valuable to God. Jesus is telling us in this parable that people will be saved through our return on God's investment of salvation. People will be saved through our witness, whether we're aware of it in this lifetime or not. God is trusting us as Christ followers to bring a return. How cool is that? Knowing how much God trusts us should give us joy in our hearts and hope in our lives. The return that God is looking for from us is that we invite people into a right relationship with Jesus so that Jesus can save their souls for heaven right along with ours. As we read through this parable, we heard that the people were given a number of talents to invest. The talents were not theirs to start with. The talents belonged to the master of the estate. So these workers were then entrusted with the responsibility of investing the property of someone else so that a return would be made. God gives us everything. God even gives us our very lives. God gives us an investment from which God wants a return. So in providing for our basic needs, God also gives all Christians a talent, some gift, some ability, some resource that God considers valuable and which God entrusts as his investment in each of us. God wants to receive a return on those things. God wants to receive a return on the gifts and the abilities that he's entrusted to us. God trusts you. God trusts you to use the talents and the gifts and the resources and your life that he gives to you in a way that pleases God and ultimately helps other people to come to see Jesus. In this parable, Jesus says we're accountable to God for how we invest our talents, our finances, our resources, our times, the same as we expect a financial counselor to be accountable to us for how our resources are invested today. The parable tells us that the master invites those servants who have invested well to share in their master's happiness when he returns. God has invested in our salvation. Jesus has bought and paid for our salvation with his life. When we give God a return on our investment, then we will be welcomed into heaven when we die. Basically, we are investing in eternity. I found that when I trust God with what I have, when I prove my love for God through my obedient, faithful witness and trust in his word, then I find it's easier to trust God with more and more of myself. And the result of my trust in God is that God then trusts me with more and greater responsibilities for the work that he's given me to do. I found that the more I give, the more God provides. I found that you can't outgive God. As part of the body of the church, God has given each one of us at least one gift. And God is expecting that we are using them as part of His Christian witness, part of our Christian witness to God's glory and for the building up of God's kingdom, the church. God has entrusted each one of us with natural gifts and abilities. God expects us to use them for Him and to His glory. And so I want you to think for a minute about those gifts and resources that God has given you. Maybe you can play the piano. Maybe you can quilt. What is the gift that God has given you? The talents that God has given us are to be invested. Using our talents for the work of the church means that our talents are used voluntarily in the life of this church. In addition to your investment in this church, you have the freedom to invest your talents and resources anywhere that God's presence needs to be made visible. We also have the freedom to waste our talents. We have the freedom to bury our talents. Don't do that. Someone once said, it's never too late to waste the little time you have left. The parable Jesus told tells us that whichever way we decide to invest God's treasure in our lives or not, there will be some sort of a response from God. Either way. Either God will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, or God will say, you wicked, lazy servant. Our faith in God comes alive when we are being grateful for what we have and making the best of what we've got. That's when you begin to feel the zeal and the joy of the Lord. Our faith in God must be living and active and ongoing to God's glory. Don't fall into the trap of becoming discouraged or jealous of other people because of the gifts or the resources or the finances or the talents that God has or has not given to you. As Christ followers, we must trust God to have our best interests and to have our future at heart and to provide for us what God thinks we need each day. Don't get discouraged. Don't lose hope. And when you look around at all of the abundance and provision that God has given you and what God has given our church, don't be stingy with what God has given us. Don't hoard your gifts and your resources. If you fall short or you think you need more, ask God for it. Psalm 50 verses 10 through 12 says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now, I don't own any cattle. I don't know what that's worth, so I Googled it. I looked it up. In 2021, one cow was worth between $2,200 and $5,300 per cow, depending on weight, gender, and breed. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God can afford to help you in whatever way you need. As Christ followers, our best witness is to be grateful to God for what we have and make the best of what we've got to God's glory. Look around. Search for your God-given gifts and abilities. Don't act like God hasn't given you anything. In Jesus, you're a winner. You've got to like winning. Don't let anyone take away your desire to win. God has given you exactly what He wants you to invest. So do it. So you can share in your Master's happiness when He returns. Jesus is going to come back. Jesus will return. Nobody knows when, and it probably will be much sooner than any of us realize. So we need to be sure that we are living for Jesus and investing all that we have in God's happiness. We need to make sure that the return we receive on the investment for God results in our eternity with God. So we've got to be intentional. We've got to be deliberate in investing the blessings and the gifts and the generous love that God has given us. We must be careful to never get so comfortable where we are that we become afraid. We become afraid when we hear God's voice calling us to do something new or calling us to go back and do again what we may have done many years ago. We need to be careful to never be so comfortable that we're afraid. We need to be careful to not compare ourselves with others. God has invested a great deal in you. God is already preparing and helping you to bring a return on his investment. So be like the two investors in the parable that Jesus told. They invested well what they had, regardless of what they had to work with. They didn't compare with each other what God had given them to invest. They didn't complain about the difference in the amounts. They simply did what they were told to do with God's property. They invested the talents that God had given them. Don't be like the third man in the parable. Don't let a sense of inferiority cause you to act like the man who buried his talent. A feeling of inferiority is a fear of what people will think of you. The third man in the parable did not do the job that he had been given to do. The third man in the parable did nothing. The Bible said that God called him to account. The Bible says that he said he was afraid. God called him lazy. The man not only lost what he had been given, he was punished. The Bible says that the talent he had been given was taken from him and given to the one who had the most. And then that man was completely separated from his master and from his friends. He lost out on the good things that God had planned for him. There are winners and there are losers. The winners will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want us all to be winners. I want us each one to hear from God, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Don't lose out on God's great, amazing, abundant plan for you. Don't risk losing the joy or the hope or the peace or the love that comes only from investing your life in Jesus. Ask God to open your eyes. Ask God to show you where you can volunteer your time and your energy and your resources to invest yourself right here, right where you belong, in the church. I found, as I've gotten older, that people over 60 do not generally have as long to live as people in their 40s. So that should give us all the incentive to get out there and try new things and live our lives to the fullest. God uses people of all ages. In the Bible are accounts of children that God uses and old people that God uses. The Bible is full of examples of people of all ages being used by God in some amazing ways, whether they're children or people in their 80s and their 90s. God will use us no matter what. The Bible tells us, and Jesus tells us, that God expects a return on his investment. Truth be told, people will be affected by how each one of us treat them, whether we're aware of it or not. Our greatest opportunity to invest for God is through sharing with other people what God is doing for us. Tell someone you believe in Jesus. Tell someone you believe the words of the Bible. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where's your treasure? If you don't think that your witness, what you give to the Lord, counts for very much, hang in there. You'll find out how God has used your witness and your talents and your love for Him to His glory. And you'll find out when you get to heaven, and many of those who came to know Jesus because of you will come up to you and say something like this: "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All because you did not bury your God-given talents and resources. All because you were willing to trust God with yourself as you invested your faith and your witness to God's glory. All because you believed that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Because you did all this, that's why I'm in heaven today. I'm so glad you invested in the Lord. Because when you did, you helped God save my soul." Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Imagine for a moment that you're starting a new job at a factory, and the company has given you a toolkit to work with and a locker with a lock on it to keep your tools in. Imagine standing in front of your machine on that first day on the job, and you're just looking at your machine. And the boss walks up to you and says, "Why aren't you working?" Imagine you telling the boss you're afraid to get your tools out of your locker and work with them because somebody might steal them or they might get dirty. Imagine telling your boss, "Well, what if I make a mistake and the other workers laugh at me?" Imagine what your boss would say. The boss will probably tell you, "Get to work or you're fired." God will tell us the same thing. And He'll give our tools to somebody else to work with. If we claim that we have no talent or money or resources from God, and if we ignore or bury what God has given us, we're refusing to work in His kingdom. And the Bible's pretty clear about the consequences for that attitude and action. When Jesus returns, it will be to take His church home with Him to heaven. We're the church. Prepare now for your eternal life. The Bible says none of us know the day or the hour. We might meet Jesus today. Make sure that you know Jesus as your Savior. Make sure that you are living and acting in such a way that Jesus will recognize you as one of his own. Prepare now for Christ's return. Become more active in the church. You don't have to be pushy to volunteer in this church, nor should you wait for an engraved invitation. Volunteer. Volunteer your time, take leadership in a ministry, try something in the church that you've never tried before. Remember to tithe. Ask God to give you a heart to serve him and to serve his church. Ask God to lead you so that you can multiply your talents and encourage others as you show people the reality of Jesus' love for them. The nice thing about this parable, God only expects us to invest that which he has given to us. We don't have to be good at everything. We don't have to be the best at doing something in order to serve Jesus. Your faithful, obedient witness for Jesus is the investment that God's looking for, because that investment will bring a wonderful return for God. Your faithful, obedient witness for Jesus will let other people know that they can trust God just like you do, and you will be an inspiration to them for Jesus. They'll see your good example. God's light will shine through you. Banks and investment firms cannot guarantee a return on your financial investment because nobody knows the future. Your spiritual investment is another matter. God does know the future, and God controls the future. God can and does guarantee a return on your spiritual investment. So I encourage you, allow God to bring forth a huge and wonderful return from you. The kids sang this morning, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." A few of you had your fingers up while they were singing. Let your light shine for Jesus. If you've never done it before and want to get started investing your life into the hands of Jesus, first of all, believe that Jesus is God's only Son who lived and died and rose again to save your soul. Second of all, confess your sins to Jesus and ask him to forgive you. And third, ask God to give you a new life with a clean conscience before God and with the blessed assurance that your sins are forgiven. And you can rest assured that God is saying to you personally, from now on, wherever you go, whatever you do, we're going to do it together, you and me. Jesus is only a prayer away. Don't wait on this. Do it now. And that's all I have to say about this. Glory to God. Amen.